Give it up for our guests on the Cafe today, the band Mo. They've been at it since 1990 and keep getting better, keeping their many fans known as Morons very happy at events like their annual Mowdown Festival held each summer. Their new album is called The Conch, and there is a Lord of the Flies tie-in. We'll find out more things about that and more after this performance of the song Tailspin.
Let it be. Believe me, you got the baby now. Thank you.
And the audience here at the Warhol speaks the truth. Wow. That was great. We were being treated to a live acoustic set from Mo today on the World Cafe. And we're concentrating on The Conch, the new album, with good reason, because it's full of really, really great songs. And Al, maybe you can talk a little bit about making this album, because I understand it took a whole period of time, and you were kind of touring while you were making it. And what effect does that have on how it ends up?
It's sort of a cruel psychological experiment in a lot of ways, not only on us and our crew, but also on our families. But the upside is
cruel.
It's a cruel and cool psychological experiment. So it's kind of interesting because it's a lot like going into a separate sensory deprivation bank, you know, while in the studio, because you really don't see much daylight for maybe 3 weeks straight, which is kind of interesting. And then we go back out on tour and there's, you know, all this adoration from our great fans and we kind of go back to sort of our quote unquote normal life and then go back into the hole again, back into a cave and work on this project. And it really, it's sort of interesting what it does to your mind and your perspective on reality.
If people who don't know, Wormwood, the album before this, had a lot of experimentation with using live tracks and studio things together. How much of that kind of played into making The Conch? Any of it?
That was sort of the mold we took when going into this recording project. You know, there were a lot of things about Wormwood that worked really well, and we thought more than ever before, we sort of captured the essence of the band, of sort of all that is Mo. We finally really sort of captured that on a studio album, maybe more so than in the past. Not to take anything away from other studio albums, just that they were more studio than sort of all-encompassing, a little bit live and a little bit studio. And so we went in and sort of modified some of the technical aspects of this, and rather than recording a whole summer tour, for example, which we did with Wormwood, we just went to one theater, the State Theater up in Portland, Maine. We camped out there for 2 weeks, and we only brought in an audience for 2 days. The other 10 days we were there, we were just set up on the stage, you know, kind of as we are here, and just kept recording all day long. And we were able to capture the acoustics of the theater and, you know, you sort of use that to our advantage. And, you know, that sort of laid the foundation for the album.
Now, who wants to take the question about Lord of the Flies? Because The Conch is kind of based on Lord of the Flies. And it... Uh-oh. Somebody. Robbie.
Ask the alpha male.
Because it brings up a whole lot of things about band dynamics and stuff. Explain it, though, first of all, what The Conch is.
I mean, pretty much from the onset of this band, we've always said we've had a Lord of the Flies existence, because we just keep throwing ourselves into situations where it's like anarchy rules and, it's nasty. I mean, our lives are just horribly nasty, and we just get down to a point where we act like complete children, but we keep coming back for more. I mean, it's been 17 years and we just keep coming back for more. I think that we just weren't shown any love as children by our parents or something. I'm not really sure what it was, but...
It's the abuse.
It's true. It feels good to be hurt.
But now the person who has the conscience and who's in control. And
yeah.
And let's talk about democracy and a band. I mean, wow. If you guys exemplify it as much as anybody, but that's hard, not having somebody, you know, say what, when, where.
Well, yeah, I know. It's definitely, just musically speaking, like when we get into improvisation, we have, I mean, the conch is sort of passed sort of telepathically from person to person. And I don't want to get too weird about it, but we definitely have this connection when we're playing, where we can just glance at somebody or just even musically kind of pass it around. And like whoever's holding the symbolic imaginary conch is sort of like leading the out of control pack of Peanuts football players around the field.
What's next?
Blue Jeans Pizza.
All right. Mo's playing live for us today on the World Cafe.
Thank you.
It's Mo live on the World Cafe. And I got to say, rare is the band on the show that projects as much fun as you guys do. It just looks, it's really great having you guys here. Just like, I'm going to ask kind of a songwriting question, how that works. And I suspect there's a number of different answers, so we'll get Chuck's. Does the person who's the lead singer on a song, does that kind of mean they're the writer? Or how does that work?
Yeah, generally that's the case. Rob, Al, and I are the main songwriters. Those two write more than I do. But generally, whoever brings in the seed of the idea and lyrics, sometimes like a fully blown song or whatever. But they're usually the point man for it, and then we all kind of flesh it out.
Yeah, so what happens then? You just play it a bunch and then the arrangement comes about?
Yeah, we do things kind of backwards as well, because we'll write a song, arrange it, rehearse it for a while, and then debut it in front of a live audience, and then retool it as we go. You know, for a while, we'll find out what works, what doesn't work, maybe stumble across some new things on the way, because we tend to open up sections of songs and improvise, and then it's like, oh, that's a great idea. You know, we can put this in a song, or we can cannibalize it for a different song. So quite often, it's a process where we build it up slowly, and things change over time. Keeps it interesting for us, too.
I read this in a couple of interviews, and I'd like to think that I would have come to this realization myself. Maybe not. But listening to you do the scatting with your solos and the vibes and the kind of the general nature of the arrangements of this band, it conjures up Frank Zappa for me. And that's a good thing.
Who? Ruth Underwood on vibes.
That's rude.
Yeah. Zappa was definitely a very big influence on us as far as musicianship. And it's kind of like the academic part and the fun. And we always try and keep those two parts in check. Not too much comedy and not too much academy.
But the variety, too, was also something that really appealed to us, especially early on.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
That Zappa could play anything and everything with his bands. And we were like, well, perhaps we could too.
Yeah, you know? You're only five guys, and he would have some huge bands at times. So,
right, you know, and therein lies the challenge.
All right, let's continue. Mo's playing live. What's up next?
Summer OI.
Cool. Right away, the dark night fades today. The morning comes my way. I'm an ordinary man. The luck calling me out, it's just a karma fallout. I'm just a playing in the band. Long days, summer, oh, I, you know I'm reeling this time. I'm hauling it in. Good luck calling me out, it's just a karma fallout. It's just a hole I fell in. It's not the band, right this time, wrong forever. Can't decide, summer away. Imagine if we had pictures of the fall, we could laugh at them all and fiddle our cares away. If I had a crystal ball, my bank account so small, wouldn't bet on LA. Jet trash sat on the sun, third satellite from spinning me around. Bright days, summer, oh, high. No, I've done it this time. Man, extraordinary man. So be light, we'll live forever. It's not design, it's not the band. Right. it's not the band. Right this time, wrong forever. Can't decide, summer.
Mo live at the Warhol Museum with Summer OI finishing up our 10th annual week at the Warhol, which goes on hiatus after this year. We wanted to thank Lee Ferraro and the staff of our affiliate WYEP for making the event so great over the past decade. Also thanks to Thomas Sokolowski and his staff at the Warhol Museum and to Sean McDonald for the great mixes over the years, including the ones you heard today. And thanks to Andy Warhol for his work. Concluding our week at the Warhol, I've got music from Antibalas, the Afrobeat band, coming up when we get back here to the World Cafe.